note. So what does Yom HaTzmut mean to us? What should it mean to us? There's so many different aspects of Israel that render it meaningful, that if I could just isolate on one thing that reflects a Torah view, I think it'll put the entire day in perspective. So it's not that people think of Israel, and they think of first of Israel as a refuge after a long and bitter, cruel exile where we were smitten physically, spiritually. We found for no home, really, no place where we were welcomed for thousands of years, for more than a short time. So it's a refuge. People feel a place of security there. People take a lot of pride in Israel. It's a place of Jewish pride, the Jewish state. It's a phenomenal story, there's no doubt. It's a story that animates all of mankind. Any person who believes in the Tanakh, in the Bible, is going to look at the state of Israel and say, whoa, what happened here? Prophets predicted this would happen thousands of years ago, and it's taken place. Halahu davar, there's something to be said for it. So we can ignore it, deny it, minimize it, belittle it, wish it away, but that is the reality. But I think from a Torah perspective, there's something else to be said. To look at the state of Israel through the eyes of the Ramban. Ramban wrote an addendum to the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvos. Mitzvos sheshochach osan harav. Mitzvos that the Rambam forgot about. Meaning, we know there are 248 positive commandments, the different forms of classification. There's a broad overlap, but in some of the specifics, there's going to be some divergence as to what is a mitzvah, what is not a mitzvah. You shouldn't think for a moment that if someone doesn't think it's part of tayag, therefore you're allowed to do it. Or you must do it. Sometimes you're still not allowed for other reasons. Or you still must for other reasons. The Ramban writes in Mitzvah Dalid, Mitzvah shed nitztavinu l'oresha sa'aretz, asher nasan hakel yisbarach l'avoseinu, l'avram yitzok l'yakov. It's a mitzvah for us to possess the land that God gave to our fathers, to Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. Unless the person think that you fulfill the mitzvah of dwelling in the land of Israel when it's under the sovereignty of the British or the Ottomans or the Mamelukes or the Crusaders or the Byzantines or the Romans or anyone else, the truth is there is a fulfillment of the mitzvah of living in the land of Israel, even under those circumstances. But the Ramban makes clear that the heart of the mitzvah, the positive mitzvah, to possess the land of Israel, is v'lo na'azva b'yad zuloseinu min ha'umos olishmama, is not ever to leave it in the hands of any of the nations of the world, or to leave it desolate as well. That is the essence, to me at least, of Yom HaTzmut. It was a declaration of Jewish sovereignty over the land that was the essential fulfillment of the mitzvah of settling the land of Israel as the Ramban understood it. A mitzvah that tells us it's not enough to live there, it's not enough to visit there, but it's a mitzvah to settle the land, to possess it, and to assert sovereignty over it. That's what happened on this day, on the 5th of Iyar, in 5708, 1948. The Jewish people reasserted their sovereignty over the land of Israel, and they said, we're not going to leave it biyad zulateinu min ha'umot lishmama. We're not going to leave it under the control or sovereignty of any of the nations of the world, nor will we leave it desolate. We're going to make it bloom, because that's the bracha in the Torah. We're going to make it prosper. We're going to bring in Jews from all over the world, Kibbutz Goliot, and make it a model community, a symbol of what the Torah says the Jewish state should be. On Yom HaTzmut, 72 years ago today, exactly today, that's what happened. We claimed our sovereignty, and the Jewish nation rose up, and in its might, its righteous anger, fought off those nations which did not want to acquiesce to Jewish sovereignty. And we said, this place is ours. this place is ours, and we'll never again abandon it to anyone else. That's what makes the day such a special one. Thoughts on Yom HaTzmaut for this year? You know, a question that always comes up that people think about is the religious reaction to the existence of the State of Israel. And there's no doubt that it's been equivocal. And one of the questions that recurs constantly, especially not in the religious Zionist world, is that how is it possible that God should bring about the reestablishment of the Jewish state, the reassertion of Jewish sovereignty over the land of Israel, through Jews who are not religious, who are not Shomer Torah or Mitzvahs, the secular Zionists? And it's a powerful question, and there's no doubt it exercised a lot of religious Jews, both in the early part of the 20th century, as well as even through the establishment of the state. The idea was articulated by no less a great personage than the Chafetz Chaim, who once said — he was against secular Zionism — who once said, according to the Pasuk in Tehillim, "Im Hashem lo yivneh bayis, shav om libonov bo." If God does not build the house, then the workers toil in vain. So it was unclear to him how it's possible such a thing can happen. This question was raised with a number of very, very interesting questions.
And of course, he didn't live to see the establishment of the state, the Chafetz Chaim. And it would be mind-boggling, though, if he would have retained the same view once the state was established.
A sefer called Da Masha Tashiv La'atzmacha, Know What to Answer Yourself, by Rav Zev Karov, who was one of the great Mechanchim Rosh Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, who died a little over 2 years ago at a young age. And he takes this question head on, and he says the first problem with the question is that it betrays a fundamental misconception about the relationship of human beings to God. He said it's a pretense that we should be able to think to ourselves, we are going to dictate to God how he has to run his world. On the contrary, the pasuk we say in the Haftarah on a Taina Sibur, Ki gavu shamayim me'aretz, as the earth is distant from, as the heaven is distant from the earth, Ken gavu darchei midarcheichem, so too, my ways, my thoughts, are so superior, so beyond you. And that's the pasuk. Ki lo machshavosai machshavosaychem, v'lo darcheichem drachai numashem. God operates in his own way. But in fact, it's a question that has recurred in Jewish history. So he quotes the Medrash in Shir Hashirim that when Moshe told the Jewish people, the Geula is coming in this month, Achodesh Hazeh, the month of Nisan, they said to Moshe, Heichonu Nigolim, how could we be redeemed when Egypt is filled with idolatry, even our own idolatry? And Moshe answered them, Hoel v'chofetz b'gulaschem, eno mabit b'avodas kochavim shalachem. Because God now is desirous of redeeming you, he doesn't pay any attention to your idolatry, to your failings. God operates on his own system. And even Moshe, the Netziv says, made this mistake when he said, v'hein lo yaminu li. They won't believe me. They won't listen to me because they say God didn't appear to you. And that's what the Netziv comments al Atar. He says Moshe knew, he knew of God and the greatness of God, and of course the promises made to the Avos. But people will say, we're not worthy of it. So how could God, why would God, we're not better than other generations, so why would God redeem us? He quotes, you know, famously, other Svarma mentioned this as well. You have kings of Israel who were not righteous kings. They were wicked kings, like Omri, for example, is the classic case, who served longer than any other king. Why? Because he was Mosef Krach Echad Beretz Yisrael. He added one city. He augmented the territory of the land of Israel. But, and this I want to end with, he quotes here the Tzitz Eliezer, Rav Oldenburg, who quotes a tshuva of the Toldos Yaakov, of Rav Yaakov Meir Kahana, from almost a century ago. And he says that when people look and ask this question, they're misunderstanding a fundamental way of how God operates. And notice the switch. We start by saying, we don't know how God operates. And then, of course, as time goes on, we conclude, oh, this is how we must operate. In any event, the Toldos Yaakov says, if the arousal to redeem the land of Israel and establish a Jewish state had come from Talmid Chachamim, then people would have said, it's not Min HaShemayim, because Talmid Chachamim, they're all misavim to do the mitzvos. It's the land of mitzvos. That's why they want to have a Jewish state there. So say it's not Min HaShemayim. But now that the Hisoris comes from people, Asher Me'olam Lo Ola Al Datenu, it never would have arisen in our minds that these are the ones, HaMe'orim L'Rayon HaZeh, Ein Zeh Ki Imeis Hashem Aizazaz. It has to be from God. And if you think about it, David Ben-Gurion, Chaim Weizmann, they had a lot of merits, of course. The primary merit, reestablishing Jewish sovereignty in the land of Israel. Sokolov, they were assimilated Jews. What brought them to this? What connected them? It's all Min HaShemayim. They were God's agents. Meis Hashem Aizazaz.